Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you. If you're brand new to Core Church, my name is Brad, and I'm the lead pastor. If I didn't get a chance to say hi this morning, welcome. Laura and I are always back there by the New Here banner. We'd love to say hi and meet you. So if you brought somebody, make sure you bring them by to say hello this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6 is where we are, if you want to get a head start on that. If you don't have a copy of the scriptures with you, we have free Bibles in the lobby. Grab one of those, take it with you. Also, the YouVersion app is, I would encourage you to download that. A lot of people use that. It's on the YouVersion app that you'll find our daily reading plan. We have a reading plan that goes right along with the message that we're doing today. So we're in a series right now called the Generosity Secret. The Generosity Secret. What is the secret to generosity? One of our core practices is generous giving. And one of the things that we believe around here is that no one should outgive the church. Like, we should be the most generous people on the planet. No one should outpace us or outgive us. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them that. Nobody should outpace you when it comes to giving. Nobody should outpace you. Don't turn to your spouse, because you guys are pretty much hopefully giving the same thing. Turn to somebody that is not with you today and say, hey, don't outpace me. Don't outpace me. We should be the most generous people that are out there. So what is the generosity secret? We've been talking about this last week. We're going to talk about it again this week. And then also next week, we're going to talk about it. We talked about contentment last week. And today I want to talk to you about greed, about conquering greed. How do we conquer greed? So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you are new to the scriptures, this is a letter. A book in the Bible, yes, but it's actually a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul. He wasn't one of the 12 disciples, but he came after that. And he wrote most of what we have as the New Testament today. And Timothy was like one of his young preachers. So Paul went around all the churches, like, we're here today because of Paul. The whole reason we're here is because Paul went out to the Gentiles, like to us. We are the non-Jews that he went to and took the gospel to. And of course, he couldn't be everywhere at one time, so he started raising up preachers. So that's where people like me started coming into play, because they needed preachers at churches. And Timothy was a preacher at a church. And Paul had invested a lot of time and energy into Timothy. He traveled with him. And so Timothy is preaching. He's leading a church. And so Paul writes him a couple of letters. This is 1 Timothy. This is near the end of the letter. And he's giving him some instruction in this letter about just how to be a pastor, what the church should look like, and how to lead that church. So let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to be in verse 9. I read out of the New Living Translation, so if you're on the YouVersion app, just look for the NLT. That's what I read out of. So just a couple verses here. It says this, "But people who long to be rich," that's greed, "people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money," and we'll talk about that today. What is the love of money? "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people who have been craving money," in other words, some people who are greedy, have wandered from the true faith, and they pierce themselves with many sorrows. So let's talk about this idea of conquering greed. Before we do, though, can we just pray together for a moment? Would you pray with me? Father, we just need you to come in this moment. We need you to speak to us. We got a lot of things on our mind and a lot of things we bring into this room. And so, church, in this moment, what I want to ask you to do is to just ask the Holy Spirit to help you to kind of feign off all distractions, whatever is asking for your mind right now. But the Holy Spirit can help you to focus and say, man, what do you want to teach me today, God? And then pray for the people that are around you, whether you know them or not. You don't have to do that out loud, but just, you know, silently pray the person on your left, your right, maybe in front of you or behind you. And because we all come in here with things. We all come in here with struggles and difficulties, and especially when it comes to money. Man, a lot of people suffering, a lot of people struggling right now. God has a way in which he wants us to navigate this, church. He wants us to rise above it. He wants us to maintain a generous spirit, even in the midst of all that is happening right now economically. So let's just pray for one another. Heavenly Father, would you just help us today by the power of your spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can grab a seat. So I know when I mention greed, for most of us in this room, we would say that I'm not a greedy person. In fact, I'm not, but I know somebody who is, right? I know somebody, and I'm looking around the room, and they ain't here today, and they're in my small group, and they need to hear this message. And so you're thinking, you know, but I can't wait till this gets online to share it with them, because they need it more than I need it, right? Amen? You're like, no, you know, I'm not playing into that, preacher. Yeah, the truth is there's a little bit of greed in all of us. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them there's a little bit of greed in you. There's a little bit of greed in you. Some of you have been waiting to say that for a long time to that person. Now turn back. Come on, turn back to that same person and say, all right, there's a little greed in me too. There's a little greed in me too. So greed is sneaky. It is really sneaky. It will rear its ugly head in very unsuspecting ways. And see if any of this is true for you. So this is about greed. Enough never feels like enough. Enough never feels like enough. I love chocolate chip cookies. I especially love Betty Meisner's chocolate chip cookies. You might know Betty Crocker, but do you know Betty Meisner? I know Betty Meisner. She's sitting right back there near the back. Wave at him, Betty. Come on, that's Betty. I mean, her chocolate chip cookies are insane. She gave Laura the recipe for these chocolate chip cookies, and so this past week she made me some chocolate chip cookies, and she brought them up to me, and we were gonna watch a show together, and there was four hot chocolate chip cookies on this plate, and I was like, woohoo, wow, this is amazing. So I was like, okay, there's two for me, two for her, and she's like, no, these are all for you. For me? I couldn't. You think I ate just one? I'm gonna eat however many are on that plate. I ate all four of them. And then I went downstairs to put my plate up, and there were two more sitting on the cookie sheet. And I was like, well, we can't let those go to waste. They're really good when they're hot. And I would want to remove the temptation from my wife, Laura. I didn't want her to deal with that. So I had six chocolate chip cookies. Enough never feels like enough. Because if there was one more, you think I'd have gone for that? Oh yeah, I would. Enough is never feels like enough. Okay, maybe that's not yours. How about this one? Instead of being grateful for what I do have, I grieve for what I don't. Instead of being grateful for what I do have, I grieve for what I don't. This is where, like, you're scrolling social media and you look and a friend of yours is on the beach in Bora Bora. You're like, woohoo, yeah. Or are you young parents right now? You're scrolling all the Black Friday ads and you're begging for a deal on a Labubu doll. I got to find a Labubu doll, okay? I mean, they're on the black market right now. You can buy black market Labubu dolls right now. If you don't know what a Labubu doll is, you will before Christmas is over. So instead of being grateful for what I do have, I grieve for what I don't. Okay, how about this one? Someone else's gain feels like your loss. Someone else's gain feels like your loss. You know, yesterday, a beautiful day, maybe you were standing out in your front yard and your neighbor drives by in a brand new Jeep Wrangler Rubicon. You know, with the towing package and the off-road wheels and little blinky lights on the back of the spare tire as he drives off into the distance. That wasn't in my house. That was somebody else. I don't know where that... But you see that and you're like, I want that. I need that. I got to have that. Or maybe for you, it's like you're at your small group and somebody's showing off all their pictures. They're like, we're right in the middle of a kitchen remodel. Our kitchen is just a wreck right now. And instead of saying, oh, good on you, you're like, oh, must be nice for you. Right? Someone else's gain feels like your loss. Let me give you a couple more here. You think more about getting than giving. You think more about getting than giving. It's Christmas season. It's a season where we receive, but we also give gifts. Laura and I have a very large family, and everybody's going to be together. We have a lot of people in our home this year, and we realized, everybody did that, because it's going to be very expensive if you buy gifts for everybody. So we did the, where you choose a name, you pick a name, and so there's these apps out there where you can do this now. And so we downloaded the app, I got the app, and then you put your name in, and then you get to choose, you spin the wheel, and it tells you who the name is that you're going to get a gift for. And so I spin the wheel and I see the person's name that I'm gonna give gifts to, and I see that they have a wish list. Do you think I went and looked at their wish list? No, I made my wish list first. I'm like, I gotta get my wish list. And it only had like three options on the, do you think I stopped at three? I saw that it had a plus and I could add more. I added another one. I put Queen News of the World on there, people. I'm going to get that vinyl record if it's the last thing. To get that, you had to be here last week. But it's this idea of that you think more about getting than giving. How are you doing so far? One more for you. Giving feels more like a burden instead of a blessing. Giving feels like a burden instead of a blessing. This is where you go out to eat at the restaurant and it comes time to leave the tip and you agonize over whether you should give, like, should I give 15? Do I 18? Do I do the full 20? Feels like a burden instead of a blessing. Or during the time when we talk about the offering and you're thinking about that percentage and you're agonizing over the percentage and golly, how much could I do? It's a burden instead of a blessing. None of us want to be greedy. None of us. I mean, we all desire to be generous. Amen? I mean, most of us here today, I know some of you are not yet followers of Jesus, but for those of you that are followers of Jesus, I know your heart. Your heart is like mine. I desire to be generous. So how do we do that? How do we conquer greed? How do we get this out of us and become the generous person that we desire? Let's look and see what Paul says to Timothy here. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and look at verse 9. Paul says this, people who what? People who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. So Paul says that greed is simply this, a longing to be rich. That's what greed is in a nutshell. It's a longing to be rich. It's this endless desire for more. Like greed is never satisfied. It constantly whispers just a little bit more. Solomon, King David's son, he wrote many of the Proverbs. And in Proverbs 30:15, he said this, the leech, or greed, think of greed. Greed has two suckers that cry out what? More, more. Like there's always one more thing to buy, one more thing to upgrade, one more thing to renew. It's always whispering more, more. Like, I just don't say this number out loud, but I want you to think in your head and take a guess at how many items you think there are on Amazon. Don't say it out loud, but how many items do you think there are on Amazon? I was blown away when I found out how many there. You ready? You got your number? There are 600 million items on Amazon. That's crazy. Do you know how many they deliver a day just in the United States? 13 million items a day. 13 million items a day. I don't know how you are when an Amazon package arrives at your house. You know, when you get the little ding and the notification that it's on the front porch. I get giddy. I get excited. I don't know why, but I'm like, it's like Christmas at my house. I'm like, woohoo, there's something for me. And I go out there and I look and I pick it up, and then I'm always disappointed if it has somebody else's name on it. Anybody with me on that? This does not have my name on it. I was hoping it would have my name on it. There's a tipping point between need and greed. It's just a fine line between the two. And when we move from need to greed, oftentimes we try to justify our decisions. Like, everybody needs a phone. How many of you have a phone? Okay. Yeah, I mean, you need a phone. Almost everybody in the world right now has a phone. But do you need the iPhone Pro Max? Well, yes. Of course I do, because it has a really good camera on it. And I know that one day I am going to pass away and I will not be here, and they're going to have a funeral for me. Have you ever seen funeral pictures? They're not very good quality. And I want to make sure mine are the best. Everybody needs a mattress, right? Everybody needs a mattress. But do I need the purple mattress? Yes. Y'all aren't catching any of this. Yes, I do, because I need a good night's sleep. And the worst thing that could happen is if I wake up and I'm cranky and I'm in a bad mood and then I'm not kind to my kids and then they're taken away and I don't know what happened. It all happened because why? I'll tell you why, Judge. I didn't have a purple mattress. We justify why we need what we need, right? Everybody needs a car. Can I get an amen from every teenager here today? Yeah, everybody needs a car. But do I need a Jeep Wrangler Rubicon with the towing pack? Yes. Yes, I need one. Why? Because you know why? We're going into winter and it's going to be icy. And what if somebody slides off the road into a creek bed somewhere and no one is there with a towing package? But I am, and I save their life. This is what we do, though. Am I right? We justify greed. You don't ever have to justify need, but we do justify greed. Here's what Paul says. Go back into the scripture here in verse 10. He says what? The what? The love of money. The emphasis on the word love. He emphasizes the word love. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's not the root of all evil. It just leads to all kinds of evil. I'll give you an idea what Paul's talking about here. That word love gets thrown around a lot in our culture. When he uses this word love, the Greek word here means extreme greed. To have itchy palms. They gotta have it. It's the leech. It's the leech that cries more, more. And Paul said earlier that we read in verse 9, he said that it's a trap. He says it's a trap that creates harmful desires that lead to foolish decisions and ruin. Money's a funny thing, isn't it? Because it can cause you to compromise your morals, your ethics, your integrity. Everything that you stand for as a follower of Jesus, everything that you know that the scriptures teach you, and yet we can easily compromise on our expense report. I mean, you're out of town and you've got a business meeting and you're using the expenses, but then there's a friend in town and you decide to take that friend to lunch, right? And you know, I mean, it's kind of business, but it's not really business, but I'm here on business. And so you say, I got it. And you don't really got it. Your company got it. Or maybe it's the Amazon package that comes and you open it up and you damage it or you scratch it or something happens to it and you're like, ah, man, I just got it. But you know, on the return, you know, you can put on the return that it was damaged and you can return it. I mean, come on, they're a kabillion zillion dollar company. What does it matter to them? Compromise. Compromise. That's what greed will do to you. I remember when years ago, Laura and I were, I was not a pastor at the time. I was working in radio and we got out of church on a Sunday. And like a lot of people on Sunday, we decided to go out to eat. And to show you how long ago this was, we went to a buffet. Anybody remember buffets? Oh man, I love me some buffets, man. Give me some fried chicken and you know, like a side of salmonella. That sounds so tasty. Yeah. Like, oh man. But I remember going and we walk up to the place and it says, wait here to be seated. And I look and I see that it says, children under 5 eat free. And I'm like, all right. And so the waitress says, well, how many? And I said, well, there'll be 2 adults and 1 child. And my son looks up at me and says, Dad, I'm 6. You're not going to make 7 if you don't keep your mouth quiet. That was awkward. That was awkward, all standing there in my church clothes, you know, back in the day when, you know, back in the day when we used to wear church clothes and we didn't blend in very well with anybody else, couldn't hide it, you know. Oh man, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So if you want to overcome the love of money, you want to overcome greed, you got to develop a generosity mindset. So what does that mean to have a generosity mindset? I want to first tell you what isn't a generosity mindset. And you may want to write some of these down. The first one is a scarcity mindset. A scarcity mindset is where I say, you know, I give when I can. I give when I can. You know, if I had it, man, I would give it, but I don't have it. But the truth is, we have more than we realize. In fact, we're actually going to talk about that a little bit next week. But just to give you a simple picture to show you that we have more than we realize that we have. Everybody's got to get gas for their car at some point. And if you go to Quick Trip, you go to Quick Trip and you got to get gas. If I have to have money for gas in my car so I can get to work and get to the places I need to go, right? That's a need, right? This is not a trick question. Everybody needs gas for your car. You're going to be walking, okay? You need gas. But what happens is you walk inside Quick Trip, right? And then you walk by the Nitro Cold Brew Station. And it's on tap. And you're like, well, I mean, it is cheaper than $5. I mean, it is cheaper than Starbucks, sorry. Actually, Starbucks is more like $10 now, really. It's like $10 now. But I gotta have that. And then on your way out, as you're headed to the register, you pass by the Taquitos. And you're like, you know, they just moved the sign that says not quite ready, you know. And you're like, you know, it's just toasting. It's 7:30 in the morning, but when is a good time for a taquito? Any time is a good time for a taquito. I gotta have that. You really do have more than, come on, turn to somebody and tell them you have more than you think you have. You have more than you think you have. I would encourage you to do an inventory. Laura and I did an inventory yesterday on our streaming services that we have, and we were shocked to learn we're spending over $200 a month just to have internet and some television. And now for some of you, you're like, that's not bad. For me, I was like, I mean, I was like, wow, how much are we spending just to watch TV? That? Yeah, I would encourage you, do an inventory. So do you have a scarcity mindset or do you have an abundance mindset? See, if you're a follower of Jesus, you should have an abundance mindset. If you don't follow Jesus, people, every person in this world, like what's happening right now in this economic crisis? Scarcity. The government shuts down. Scarcity. Everyone's scarcity. Freaking out. I don't have enough. I don't have. Is that not the narrative that you hear over and over? Whenever an election cycle comes up, what does it tell you? You don't have enough. And then we're convinced I don't have enough. But I want to tell you, if you are a follower of Jesus, you need to develop an abundance mindset because you need to look who is standing behind you, who has got you, who is with you. But Brad, you don't understand. I do actually do understand. I do understand because I have been broke. Laura and I have eaten off a card table, driving an old beat up VW Rabbit, living in a little efficiency apartment with a little 13-inch TV that took 13 minutes to warm up because it was an old tube TV. We were broke. I mean, it was the mac and cheese, you know, ramen noodle kind of thing. Anybody feeling me on that one? That kind of broke, ramen noodle broke. That's what we were. But you know what? We didn't have a scarcity mindset, Laura and I. We said, no, we are going to tithe, and we're going to tithing, by the way, giving 10%. We're going to give 10% to God, regardless of where it's non-negotiable for us and has been for over four decades. Never one time in our marriage have we ever not given 10%? We actually give more than that. And I want to tell you the number of times that God has let me down in 40 years. You need to know the number of times that God has let me down. When you're tithing and you're broke and you can barely make it, let me tell you about the times that never one time. I look back. Never one time. If you took me back to that card table and the folding chairs with the TV, and we were sleeping on a couch that folded out to a bed, that was how we got started. If you took me back to that, and you said, Brad, if you stop tithing, you could move to a different apartment. If you stop tithing, you could get a different car. If you stop tithing, Brad, what you could do by not giving that 10% is you could actually get a real bed to sleep on. Would I do that? No, I would not do that. I wouldn't trade it for anything. Why? Because this is what we talked about last week. I am storing treasures in heaven. I ain't storing them here on this earth where moth and rust destroy. That card table, long gone. Folding chairs, long gone. Thank the Lord that tube TV is long gone. I don't know what happened to it. I don't know where it is, but all I know is I invested treasures in heaven, in people. Man, I gave it to the local church because I believed in the local church and I saw people's lives being changed. As the people of God, we should not have a scarcity mindset. We should have an abundance mindset. Come on, turn to somebody and ask them, do you have a scarcity mindset or an abundance mindset? Come on, ask somebody, do you have a scarcity mindset or an abundance mindset? Now turn back to him and tell him this, God's got you. God's got you. Man, this is our God. He owns it all. So there's another one though too before we get to the generosity mindset. If you don't have a scarcity mindset, you may have a comfort mindset. Comfort mindset. In other words, I give what I can. I give what I can. I give just enough to kind of ease the guilt and feel good. Now, I'm not talking about just giving in church. I'm talking about in life. When you're helping people, when you're helping people around you, when there's an opportunity to give to those that are around you, you give just enough so that you don't feel the guilt anymore and you can feel at least somewhat good. This is where you pay all your bills first and then I give God what's left over. That's the, I got to be, I need to be secure. So I'm going to pay all my bills and then I'm going to look and see how much do I have left. And then that I will then consider maybe to give some of that to God. Listen, nobody likes leftovers. Nobody. Nobody wants day old mac and cheese. Like when I, you know what? Somebody over there was like, I don't know about that. Listen, don't give God your leftovers. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them, don't give God your leftovers. Don't give God your leftovers. If somebody, if a guest of honor came, somebody comes and eats at your house. We got family in town. And you got people that are, especially if they're non-family, you know, are you going to get out the leftovers? So we got some celery from the other night, and here's half a ham, a little bit of ham, and some casserole. We have a little bit of casserole. This will be, enjoy. No, you're going to give that person the best, right? Isn't that what you're going to do? When you sit down to eat with that person, to show them honor and respect and show them that you care about them, show them that they matter, that they have value, they have worth. You're going to prepare a nice meal if guests come over to your house. And when they come over, are you going to serve yourself first? No, you don't do that. You serve them first. Why? Because it's an act of honoring. It's an act of expression of love, of care, that they matter to you. So why don't we do that with God? Why do we just give God our leftovers? Why don't we give to God for, like, God, you listen, this is yours. I'm going to give it to you. So do you have a comfort mindset where you say, I give what I can? So let's talk about a generosity mindset. Here's what a generosity mindset is. If you want, because this is a big question we all have. What does it mean to be generous? A generosity mindset says this: I give beyond what I can imagine. That's a generosity mindset. So if you wonder, am I generous? How do I know if I'm generous? Are you giving beyond what you could ever imagine? In other words, the tithe that we talk about, the 10%, you're like, yeah, that's for beginners. Like, I'm not gonna, that's a starting point. That's where I'm gonna start at. That's like non-negotiable, but I don't that's not where I stop. That's actually where I start. This is what Laura and I have practiced for decades and decades in our marriage, is that we're going to give beyond what we could ever imagine or think. This is what the world calls foolish. Sadly, it's what many of us in the church call foolish. Giving more than 10%? I'm blowing some of your brains right now. You're like, what? We want to give to God for, it's, you know, God doesn't want leftovers, and certainly God doesn't want a tip. That's what you do for your waiter or your waitress. That's not what we do for God. I have a generosity journal that I keep, and I've talked about this before. A few years ago, so I've always practiced being generous, and I don't have the gift of generosity. So if you take the spiritual gift test, sometimes the word generous is on there, and some of you have that gift, and this message, you're just like, yep, yep, yep. But for the rest of us, we're like, oh, man. So I don't have that gift of generosity, but I always want to be generous. And I felt God leading me to extravagant generosity 1 year. It was 2021. And that was to give whatever he asked me to give. No questions asked. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do that. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep track. I've never done that before, but I'm going to keep track. And I've shared this before in 2021, I kept track, and God gave me back. It was almost like double what I had given. And then I'm going to do it again. And then God outgave me again. And then I'm going to do it again. And then God did it again. And I've done it every year since then. And so I was curious when I was putting this message together, you know, how it's been, what God has done. Now, in this generosity journal, I just, so you know, I put everything in there. So when we give to the church, I write that in there. But I also give when God asks me to give to. So for example, sometimes it's small, sometimes it's big. It's been as little as $10. It's been as much as $4,000 this year. Like, by the way, I don't have $4,000. But I just happen to have enough to give that. And God's like, I want you to give that because they need that. So, and then, but it's, sometimes it's really small. Like I was at a coffee shop and I was just reading and I was this young girl, she's probably like, I don't know, 9, 10 years old, came and sat down with a young lady at the table next to me. And she was being tutored for math. And so, you know, I don't ever really eavesdrop. Some of you are great eavesdroppers, Aunt Mary. So, that's terrible. Is she looking at me? Is she looking at me? I love you. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But so I was listening because they were doing math problems, and I was like, all right, let's see if I can beat this 9-year-old. I couldn't. I was like, this girl's like, she's like doing these equations that I didn't even know they, I didn't, when did they put letters in math? I didn't even know there were letters in math. And so I'm like, she's killing it. And I'm like, I don't get this. And I just sense God saying, hey, you have a $20 bill in your wallet. Give that little girl that 20 bucks for working so hard. It's like, okay. So I did. I got up and I just said, hey, you're working really hard. I said, this is for you, sweetheart. And I said, you know, maybe go get a treat or something. And she was like, whoosh, I'm open it up. You imagine a 9-year-old, what? She was excited. I always carry cash in my wallet. I would encourage you to carry cash in your wallet. Nobody carries cash. If you don't carry cash, you can't give cash away. And I would stretch yourself. Maybe it's a 20 for you. Maybe it's 50. Maybe it's 100. I don't know. But carry it with you at all times. Just wait for God to give you that opportunity. Okay, so I put all this into my journal. And so this year, I was like, I'm going to add it up. And again, this year, I started adding it up because I was like, oh, this would be fun because I'm ready to talk about this and greed. And I add it all up. And when I added up what I had given, what we'd given so far in 2025, I was like, this is the year. God, there's no way God has given me this much. This is crazy because it's way beyond 10%. And I'm like, and I add it all up. And dang it, if God is not outpacing me by $3,000 right now. He's got me by $3,000. So I got to do some catch up right now. Who needs $3,000? Who needs? Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. That's what I thought. You cannot outgive God. It's such an old cliche, but it's true. And I would challenge you to do that. Develop a generosity mindset. So Paul, he says, let's go back to the scripture, because Paul says that greed has an even greater danger than temptation and foolish decisions. He says this at this in the second part of verse 10. Some people craving money have what? Say it with me. Wandered from the true faith. See, greed is a thief and a robber. And what he is ultimately out to do is steal your worship away from God. It wants to rob God of the glory and place that he deserves in your life. See, greed not only empties your wallet, it empties your heart. It never satisfies, right? It's the leech that cries out, more, more. It's a great story in the New Testament about this guy named Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. I preached about him a few weeks ago. If you don't know that story, Zacchaeus was ripping people off. I mean, you want to talk about greed? This guy was eaten up with greed. So he was manipulating things and trying to get more, as much as he possibly could. And then he had an encounter with Jesus. Jesus entered his life. And when Jesus entered his life, his eyes were opened, and the scripture tells us that he gave half of his wealth to the poor. Half. That's not just tithing. That's quintuple tithing. That's nuts. You want to talk about a generosity mindset? See, that's what a generosity mindset is. A generosity mindset grows out of a heart where Jesus is Lord. So if you're struggling with giving, you got to ask yourself, is Jesus Lord? What does it mean to make Jesus Lord? It means that he owns everything. It's all his and it all belongs to him. He gave it to you and we give it back to him. It's when Jesus is Lord, when you say, man, all to Jesus, fully surrendered to Jesus. I want to ask you this, is your wallet or your billfold, is it surrendered? Is he Lord of your finances? David said it this way in Psalm 16:2. He said, I said to the Lord, you are my master. That's making him Lord. And he says this, why is he the master? Because every good thing I have comes from you. This is who God is. Generosity begins with God. It's all about God. And it's when God, not money, is your master. It's recognizing it all comes from God and it all belongs to God. So imagine what could happen if you conquered greed in your life and embraced a lifestyle of generosity. What will God do through you? We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.